Welcome to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, Senior Site Editor of SearchDataManagement.com. Well, today we are discussing the five-year outlook for data warehousing, looking at the trends, technology, and market changes that could affect data warehousing between today in 2008 and 5 years from now, which is 2013, if you can imagine that. Sounds futuristic, doesn't it? Well, to discuss this, we are calling on James Kobielus, Senior Analyst with Forrester Research and a leading expert on data warehousing, predictive analytics, data mining, and complex event processing. In addition to his core coverage areas, James contributes to Forrester's research in business intelligence, data integration, data quality, and master data management, and he regularly posts to Forrester's information management blog. James has a long history in IT research and consulting and has worked for both vendors and research firms. Most recently, he was at Current Analysis, an IT research firm, where he was principal analyst, covering topics ranging from data warehousing to data integration and the semantic web. James is a widely published business and technology author and has spoken at many industry events. Thank you so much for being with us today, James.
It's a pleasure, Hannah.
Now, before we get into this five-year outlook and vision, let's start with a bit of a level set about where organizations are with data warehousing now in 2008. What is your sense of the adoption of data warehousing, and how are people using data warehouses today?
Well, my sense of the adoption of data warehouses in 2008 is that enterprises have adopted them widely everywhere for analytics, for business intelligence, for decision support. So data warehousing, in particular tactical data marts, are everywhere. Companies generally bring their structured data into very application-specific data marts for BI, for data mining. This is a standard practice throughout the corporate world. So data warehouses have been adopted widely, and so my sense of the adoption of data warehousing is a lot of it is not so much, you know, enterprise-wide, what are called EDWs, enterprise data warehouses, but rather it's a lot of scattered tactical data marts for specific applications. And so what I see in the next 5 years or so is there'll be more rationalization and streamlining and consolidation of diverse data marts into really general-purpose EDW platforms that the data marts will, as it were, will hang off of in a hub-and-spoke architecture. That's, you know, that approach allows organizations then to save money in terms of hardware and software and databases, in terms of save money by rationalizing and streamlining development teams and DBAs and so forth. So that's a big trend.
And now to expand on that a little bit more, to frame things in that five-year outlook context, given your knowledge of sort of the adoption and the technology trends, what is your outlook, just sort of taking your previous answer a little further, what is your outlook for data warehousing 5 years down the road? How will it really compare with today?
Well, it'll be the same, but quite different. Really, let's look at the year 2013. That's 5 years from now. Right now, the largest data warehouse you find typically is it may be several hundred terabytes. That's fairly large. That's much larger than the average data warehouse of 5 years ago. But really, in the year 2013, petabyte size data warehouses will become the norm. So a petabyte, we're talking about, you know, it'll be at least several times larger on average than today's average data warehouse. The thing is, there's so much data that organizations manage. A great chunk of the data that organizations want to manage in a structured way resides in unstructured and semi-structured sources, such as your enterprise content management environment, your document management, the whole Web 2.0 world in email and whatever. So what's happening over the next 5 years is that more and more of this semi-structured and unstructured data will be brought into your EDW and will balloon the size of your EDW. It will be brought in through a variety of middleware approaches and tools, text analytics, text mining, natural language processing, and so forth. So what we're going to see over the next 5 years is that there'll be more and more data, more and more of it will be unstructured from the source. When it's brought into your data warehouse, it'll be brought into the data warehouse by being conformed into the dimension that you run in your data warehouse upon. So what will be managed in the data warehouse is not unstructured data, but rather structured representations of entities and relationships and sentiments and so forth in the unstructured source repository data. So that's another big trend in terms of unstructured data support. Another huge trend in the next 5 years that we'll see become more mainstream is more and more of your data warehousing applications will be real-time, all the way from the source repository data to the target BI and analytics applications. There'll be sub-second latency in transmission of updates to your reports, to your dashboards, to your queries, all the way to the end user. Sub-second latency. Now, that's sub-second latency right now is not the norm. In fact, it's a real-time BI or real-time data warehousing is a small piece of the overall pie in terms of what enterprises have deployed to date, because most EDWs are based on batch approaches, based on ETL, which involves long batch windows. Quite often the data is loaded into and refreshed in the data warehouse overnight or every few hours, but not in real time. The next 5 years, we're going to see more of these real-time applications because more and more your business intelligence and your EDW are being deployed, not so much for back office applications, but really for sort of the frontline applications that touch your customers. And I'm talking about like the call center and a lot of areas where you need to reflect the latest and greatest data on, say, how well a customer is being served or where particular cargo containers are located at this moment in your supply chain, so you can take quick business actions to address various issues that may be emerging continuously. So the data warehouse will essentially support sub-second transmission of metrics and operational data in the same architecture that supports more of the historical data that you have now. So you'll have both historical and real-time data being persisted in the EDW at various points. That will become that hybrid architecture, real-time and historical, will become the norm in the next 5 years. Right now it's the exception.
Wow, so petabyte-sized data warehouses with unstructured, semi-structured data loaded into them in real time. There's a lot going on there. It sounds like companies have some work to do in between now and 5 years from now. What trends and technology changes should organizations really pay attention to? What could really affect their data warehousing strategies within the next 5 years?
Just like in the movie The Graduate, you know, when somebody asked Benjamin what he should pay attention to, you know, they said plastics, and that became a classic. Well, now the one word I'll give to you here is appliances. Because what appliances are, well, it's a theme that's in many IT market segments, but really appliances have come to the data warehousing market in a big way. Appliance, it's obviously much bigger in scope and complexity than a toaster. An appliance refers to a new approach to packaging up functionality. So it's software is optimized to a particular set of hardware. And the software and hardware, that integrated package, is built for and designed for quick deployment with minimal upfront configuration and planning, and built to handle particular workloads and SLA, and built for particular price performance profiles. So in the enterprise data warehousing market, more and more of the vendors are rolling out and providing their solutions as appliances to address both the tactical data marts of the world, but also the EDWs of the world. So IBM has totally revamped its data warehousing solution portfolio around the concept of an appliance, of appliances. And IBM has many different appliances for BI and data warehousing and so forth that integrate both their hardware and their software, but also provide, as it were, prepackaged professional services to help organizations to implement and optimize. Oracle has also gone big on appliances in terms of Oracle has partnered widely with hardware vendors who have built what are called Oracle optimized warehouses that include the database and the BI and the ETL and all the other components. And they're not alone. I mean, pretty much everybody, SAP slash business objects, appliances are a big theme for them. Teradata, who got the appliance space started really in the mid-80s, as it were, with a pre-bundled package of hardware, database, and software. You know, Teradata remains the most important data warehousing vendor, and they've been providing an appliance-like portfolio or go-to-market positioning for quite some time. You know, they are there, but there's all these upstarts that are very coming on very fast as becoming credible alternatives to the likes of a Teradata or an IBM or an Oracle. I'm talking about like the likes of Netezza and Greenplum and Datopia and Datalegro and others, who provide appliances that are built to do a few things, but do them very fast. And I'm talking about the core thing, which is accelerating your complex OLAP queries against your structured data that's residing in your data warehouse. And so in 5 years' time, the vast majority of the data warehouses out there and data marts will be built on appliance platforms. And the concept of an appliance will continue to morph and evolve. Right now it's a little bit mushy around the edges about what is or is not an appliance, but that will be the number one theme that enterprises should pay attention to. An appliance vendor says that they provide quick plug-and-play, optimized performance for particular workloads. Well, you know, proof's in the pudding. You've got to benchmark them to see if, in fact, they deliver on that promise.
And just a quick follow-on to that. I think some people think of appliances as, you know, sort of a quick start thing for people who are new to it. These are big, huge, they can carry a lot of data in them. I mean, these are big, big, high-level appliances, yes?
Yes, big high-level appliances. They're very complex things. All the vendors say, oh, yes, they're all pre-configured and pre-optimized. Well, nothing that huge and complex can be pre-configured and pre-optimized for everything you might want to do with it. So really it comes down to, you know, having to check them out 9 ways to Sunday, the appliance, in terms of checking whether they integrate, for example, very important, with your existing BI applications, your existing queries, with your existing ETL software, with your existing database, and so on and so forth. And you know what? These appliance platforms, these appliance-based solutions, you're going to need to do a lot of the out-of-box configuration yourself still under most realistic scenarios, you, the enterprise.
Thank you for clarifying that. And now we've heard a lot about appliances recently, especially us in the press. Are there any more, like, futuristic trends on the horizon, perhaps new data warehousing technology or sort of related concepts that are in development that we haven't heard about much yet that could sort of play a part in the strategy or market changes in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I alluded to one of them earlier, which is that more structured, unstructured and semi-structured data is being incorporated into your EDW environment, and that is a huge theme going forward. That's going to have to leverage, you know, text mining technologies, and so that still is, in a sense, sort of futuristic because it involves artificial intelligence and natural language processing and some of the semantic web technology we've been hearing about for ages and ages. That will increasingly find its way into your overall data warehousing solution portfolio from the leading portfolios from the leading vendors, but also will have to find its way, text mining and analytics, into the core skill set of the DBA to some degree. So it's a bit futuristic in the sense that the vendors in the DW market are still putting together their strategies for incorporating more text mining into their architecture so that, for example, you can, in a given OLAP cube run, manage both the structured data in your existing star schemas and so forth, alongside the equally structured data that originated in unstructured sources and has been brought into your cube through the usual approaches, but through a new approach called content ETL, which is coming along. IBM already has something called a content warehouse in their overall product portfolio that to some degree integrates their text mining, to a great degree integrates their text mining technology, the Omnifine. Well, you know, what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, actually, is some interesting news, like SAS Institute has bought Terragram, a text mining vendor, and SAS already had some decent text mining capabilities, but going forward, you know, SAS is a BI player, and to some degree, they're a data warehousing player, and we can expect to see them increasingly bring unstructured text analytics and so forth into their overall portfolio of offerings. But there's still certain vendors out there that have not fully declared where they're going down that road. Teradata, they've got data mining tools. It's not clear yet where they're going with text mining, but you know, one sense is that they already have a strong relationship with SAS. To one degree, it would make sense for Teradata to do text mining in the data warehouse through their partnership with SAS, but that hasn't played out yet in terms of their public announcements. Likewise, it's clear that at some point Microsoft, who are a big player in data warehousing, will have to declare where they're going with text analytics. You know, the way it is with Microsoft, usually they make strategic fill-in acquisitions of vendors with important technology. I sense in 2008 Microsoft will get real serious on text analytics as in the context of their data warehousing product strategy. So I see that coming along. And SAP, they bought Business Objects, and Business Objects last year bought a text analytics vendor, Insight, and has already begun to work that technology into their BI portfolio. Going forward, I strongly expect that SAP Business Objects will bring unstructured data into their SAP NetWeaver business warehouse, business intelligence warehouse. But once again, this is a futuristic trend. I think it'll take 2 to 3 years to play out before we see a real decent uptake of text mining technology in the context of an enterprise data warehouse. For the most part, most data warehouses out there for the next few years will still be predominantly populated by structured data that was structured data at the source and has been brought in to your cubes through traditional, you know, ETL approaches.
Very interesting stuff. And now to close, what advice can you offer organizations who are developing or updating their data warehousing roadmaps now, this year? What is important for them to consider as they think through their planning and longer-term strategy?
Yeah, I think the most important thing now in 2008 is consider the slowing economy. And that will translate undoubtedly at some point into slowing IT budgets or declining IT budgets. We hope not, but you know, that's a strong possibility. So how can you do more with less? That's what we always worry about in budget crunch times. How can you as a DBA, as a data warehousing administrator, do more with less? How can you as business intelligence application developer do more with less? Well, you know, if you look at your data warehousing environment, there's a number of things that you should have been doing all along that you should do in spades now that the economy is starting to turn down. In terms of doing more with less, one of which, of course, is to consolidate all these scattered tactical data marts consolidate them all up into an enterprise data warehouse, so you can save on hardware, on storage, you can save on software licenses, you can save on administrator and developer FTEs and so forth. That's important. Consolidate your EDW. Also, it's important that you migrate the data that you have in your EDW that's maybe not being used very often in terms of being accessed into reports and queries. The older, as they call it, colder data should be migrated from the expensive online storage to the less expensive nearline or offline storage so you can save on storage costs. Also, you should also explore data warehousing appliances because they are cheaper. On a per usable terabyte basis for some core data warehousing applications, in particular OLAP acceleration. So definitely explore appliances as a cost-cutting strategy. that can also improve your service levels on some of the core query applications. And you should also consider, of course, this whole phenomenon called virtualization, server virtualization, so you can run more applications and more processes on less hardware, or consolidate it all onto fewer platforms through the magic of virtualization, and also be able to run data warehousing and ETL workloads on commodity hardware that has been virtualized out into through a grid approach. So if you can process more of your data warehousing load on cheaper commodity platforms, all the better. You can save money. So in all these ways, you need to tighten your EDW belt now, and so you can strengthen the analytic core of your organization, so that hopefully when the economy picks up, that you won't have gutted and decimated your core data warehousing platform environment, that in fact it will remain there and it will provide you with high quality decision support to help your organization to manage its way through tough times and manage its way to future opportunities when the economy picks up.
Thank you very much for all of that insight and advice. Thank you again, James Kopielus of Forrester Research. To learn more about James Kopielus or Forrester Research, please visit Forrester.com. That's Forrester.com. And to learn more about data warehousing or business intelligence, please continue to turn to SearchDataManagement.com for articles, resources, podcasts, and much, much more. We cover a host of topics ranging from BI to data warehousing to data integration, data quality, data governance, master data management, and a host of other data topics. Remember, subscribing to our RSS feeds is a great way to stay on top of this rapidly changing market, as well as all of the new content we put out here on SearchDataManagement.com. And of course, if you have any ideas for things you would like to see covered, if you have a great story to share, if you have a question, or just some data thoughts on your mind, please email me anytime. I'm Hannah Smaltry, hsmaltry@techtarget.com. Once again, you've been listening to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, Senior Site Editor of SearchDataManagement.com. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.